A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There is a trend in the dating world today.
Oh dear.
That I was just made aware of.
Oh boy.
And I'm not happy about it, Tom. I'm not happy about it.
There we go.
It.
Ring the alarm, everyone.
Liz isn't happy with something. Well, the trend is of calling yourselves exclusive, but not saying boyfriend or girlfriend. There's two extra steps that I didn't have back when I was still dating people.
Okay. Clarification is demanded on this. So two people say, hey,
yeah, let's... I had a friend say to me the other day, it came about because I was talking to one of my girlfriends and I said, oh my God, so have you got a boyfriend? She goes, well, yeah, we're exclusive. And I said, oh, so he's your boyfriend? And she's like, no, but we're exclusive.
Right.
And I was like, is there a difference? She's like, oh yeah, it's like being engaged to be engaged. Like it's you're not fucking other people, but you're not committed enough to want to call each other boyfriend or girlfriend yet. And I'm not about that. I think it's horse shit.
Yeah, it's a needless step.
I've got my toes in the water, but I'm also firmly on dry land.
Yeah.
This bullshit, get in the pool.
Betwixt singlehood and dating someone, you're just on the...
Why do you think people do it, though?
Oh, why do people do any sort of wanky self-attention, attention-grabbing seeking?
Is it so you can
know.
Be like...
I don't know. I have
I'm
no
idea.
I'm
exclusive with you, but if I decide to fuck somebody else, you were never my girlfriend. Notice how I'm gendering this automatically, that it's the guy that's fucking up.
Ding, ding, ding. I suppose that's it. In my defense, I've never heard of this. I haven't come across
this
concept.
Thing.
This is happening out in the world.
This is happening out in the world. Readers, please write in. Let me know if you've been exclusive with someone but not boyfriend, girlfriend. What is the difference in your brain and why did you feel you needed to take that step? And if you're doing it just to keep someone else happy, fuck that. Now, Tom.
No, I've got nothing. All I can do is shake my head and keep saying, but that's all I've got. I want answers. I'm asking for, nay, demanding answers from you readers. Yes, you. Write in and let me fill me.
That's what the youths are doing.
I need so much more. So the kids are going, hey, do you want to be exclusive? But you're not my boyfriend.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get why that is. But it's a thing and it's happening and I need to know why. So tell us why. I'm Liz Best.
Good
I'm here with
Lord,
my co-host.
Tom Harris. Hello, everybody.
This is Ghosts of Boyfriends Past.
We keep doing it. More and more baffling as time goes on. Maybe we're aging and we're not in and down with the kids anymore.
We're just shaking our fist at relationship clouds. Surely it's not us, Liz. No,
surely it's them.
Do you know, I think
it's children.
It's not me. It's all together you. Not you. You, the wider, you, everybody yeah, else that's
everyone
not
else.
In this room.
Mm.
Speaking of the people in this room, we have a guest today.
Can you believe it?
We do. It's one of our main episodes. So we have a guest. His name is Ryan Goodwin. He is a Brisbane improviser extraordinaire. Thank you for joining us, Ryan.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here. Excellent.
Thank you for coming in.
Fun. An improviser.
What do you think about this whole exclusive not boyfriend, girlfriend bullshit that I'm hearing?
Oh, look, I'm on the other side. I'm on the other side, controversially. I'm like, if that's how someone wants to identify, what does it matter how I care?
But
how
what's
they want
the
to
difference?
Yeah, you know, what does it mean is
the,
what I want to know. I don't give a shit.
Like, maybe it's like a thing where they don't want to gender themselves. So, like, you know how there's a whole push for partners? Maybe instead of doing that, they're exclusive?
See, that I'd say is fine, right? If they're doing it because they don't want it to be gendered and they're saying we're exclusive and we're together. But there seems to be a distinct separation when I was quizzing my friend between exclusive versus together. They're two different. They're not the same thing.
Which one's the higher ranking?
Together.
Right. Yeah. So they're exclusive. So they've just been dating. They've just decided that now they're exclusive. Like it's the
but
kind
if you're
of
exclusive,
moment.
You're partners. That's it. You're not fucking other people.
I'm with Liz. They're just making more steps. Confusing steps in the middle.
As a commitment phobe, as such as myself.
This is great news to you.
You know, maybe it's just this slow, like, okay, I'm just not quite ready partner yet.
So it's like I'm going to get into the pool, but I'm not going to go above the nips because that's where it gets really cold.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I mean, that's how it logically seems to me.
Dive then, in the deep end, boys and girls. Don't wait.
Get if you, your hair wet or get out of the pool.
If you slowly, inch by inch, get into that pool and you start opera singing as it gets colder and colder up the sides, you're going to... It's not a good look for you. You're only embarrassing yourself. Same with dating. Jump in the deep end. Stop faffing around, wasting time. That's
look,
what I say.
If you're a person who needs to do that, then I'm all for you. Team Ryan. Let's call them Team Ryan.
Ryan, yeah.
Look, if you need to do it, but I want to know why, right? So if that's your style of dating, I'd love your explanation as well, because we welcome all types here on Ghosts of Boyfriends Past, and I just want to know why everybody does what they do.
That's right. We're not looking to ridicule. We're looking to understand. And until I understand, I'm going to ridicule.
That's fair. I understand that. I think that's you're ridicule.
So, Ryan.
Yes.
Tell us a bit about what your story is. Why are you gracing us today?
In.
Where
Let
are we
in.
Situating this in your
All
life?
Right.
Oh, no, so, hang I mean, on. We've got rules. Fuck. Ooh, I always forget the rules. Okay.
We'll get there.
The rule is you have to have a fake name for anybody that you're talking about.
Okay.
Don't make the fake name close to the real name, because that's how mistakes happen.
Yes, that's okay. That's the hot tip.
wasn't me.
Okay.
It was totally
so
me.
I'm Brian.
Yeah.
Don't do something like that.
You can keep your own name.
Okay.
But
right.
But like,
cool.
Let's say if somebody's name was Barry and you decided to call them Harry, you will stuff up. Yeah. There's oh, no like.
I just have to rewrite something. Bear with me.
And readers. Who listening to the story and the show today, who piece together who Ryan is and who Ryan's talking about, and other people that might get involved in workplaces
don't be
and
a
things.
Dick rule.
Don't be a dick. Don't no doxing. No private information, please. I want to keep doing this for a good while yet, and don't want it to come crashing to a halt. And thirdly, Ryan, please on mic. Whilst on mic, no threats.
Yeah,
good.
Okay, let me just scrap out what I've got written
so
down here as
Ryan's,
well.
Ryan's
no
going to do
threats.
Some scribbling.
So he's putting big red lines to
Harry
entire
Barry's
chunks of his script.
But that's it for it for rules. We're a fun podcast. We're only
we've
only got
cool
a couple.
Girl
of,
podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
Also, like you know how like I'm a gay man. I'm pretty open to talking about stuff. Like, what are we rated?
Like, we're rated explicit. You can do like I don't know. There's an episode that Zane was on, our producer.
Yeah, that's.
That was our most not suitable for work.
I've said
one so far.
I've said fuck a couple of times.
I say fuck daily,
maybe
hourly, minutely,
mayhaps a shit. I don't know if I've said the C bomb yet.
I did, and
but
Elizabeth
has.
And then the second
has,
that I said it, I went, nope, that's my line. I've gone too far, and we were supposed to bleep it, and we didn't bleep.
So we each have our individual lines, really.
Sexual innuendo,
yeah,
innuendo,
yes,
all of it,
all in some,
you know. Explicit encourage.
And I'm now a new converted fan after listening to a couple
Yay!
Of episodes today.
Excellent. Thank you.
I guess my other question is, are we comedy or are we kind of like...
Don't
we,
ask our
we
audience.
Straddle. So look, we've had episodes where we're laughing so hard we're crying. We've had episodes where we're just fucking crying.
Right.
Like
yes.
it can... And sometimes... All in the one episode. We've had a couple of episodes where we've been laughing so hard that our sides hurt, and 5 minutes later I'm snotting into a tissue because I just can't cope.
Yeah,
so
Ryan, my friend, if you want to bring some comedy to this
bring
this
the pain,
podcast,
bring
no,
the funny,
one,
bring
no one will complain.
Got.
No one will complain.
The reason I say that is because this story starts with the death of my dad.
Right. He says with a big smile on his face yes. because he doesn't use comedy to deflect
no,
pain
of
at
course
all.
Not. I'm a healthy human being with wonderful emotions.
No, okay. it's all on board and above board. So we have an introduction there, ladies and
that
gentlemen.
Is, that
at
is
the depth of your father.
That yeah. is in the deep end. We are in the deep end.
You've got the rules. You Look, can run with it now, I suppose. Over
I
to
actually,
you.
I like to think I'm a healthy person. So yes, I jest. And this happened like a fair few years ago. So 4 or 5 years ago. You know, and it's a crazy story. So I don't know how much you want to get into it, but my dad, he died eating a drumstick outside of a 7-Eleven.
What a way to go.
Shit.
Yeah, like, right? Like
it's better than being slumped over your desk at work in front of the computer. Like, that's how you go? Like, that's a terrible way to die. That's pretty good. Not
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, yeah. I was, I think that's a fitting way for my dad to pass on. He was in a different country, in Manila, dating someone half his age. And I found out about my dad's death via a Facebook message.
Holy what?
Yeah. So literally I get home 10 o'clock at night. I get this message and my dad's partner never contacts me. And all I've got is Ryan. Ryan, are you there? And I was like, yeah, I'm here. And all I got was, Ryan, I'm so sorry. Mm. And sorry, I'm okay with this. And I timed the text messages because English wasn't her first language. They were like 10 minutes apart. So to find out your dad had died and then to not get a response for 10 minutes.
Yes.
You can't call anyone. You can't tell anyone. Because you just don't know what happened.
And that time stretches like and
that
warps.
That 10 minutes is 20, 30, 40 minutes.
You
like,
don't know how
hours.
Old you are. You don't know your name and what's going on. Yep.
The conversation went for 50 minutes before I actually found out what happened. And that's when my aunt from England called me. So, whew, there you go. There's the real emotion, folks.
Well done.
Anyway, so that's a way to find out, right? And then I could start calling people and telling people what was going on. So I spent that week with my sister, and there's a lot that went on that week. So my dad, the paperwork stuffed up, so we couldn't do the what do you call it when you burn people?
Cremation.
Yeah. There you go.
I prefer saying burn people.
Yes. Yeah. So we couldn't initiate the cremation. My dad had a 7-day open casket.
That is a long open casket.
It is. And then when the people came to take my dad away, my dad's partner wouldn't let them take the body for cremation. And there was baseball bats involved and police officers involved.
Jesus Christ.
And they actually had to re-embalm my dad because my dad was starting to decompose. So this is giving you, we got the consulate involved.
A bit of a headache in general, a bit of a kerfuffle.
Yeah, my dad had no money, so we're trying to find... we're trying to find $5,000 to bury him.
Yep. It's so sad that it actually costs money to say goodbye to people in that way. Like that much money. It just, yeah. My mother has said, and I agree with this, is just put me in a cardboard box. You know,
believe it or not, that's really expensive to do.
That's not right. Do you know, if we said that it was a cardboard coffin that wasn't for a funeral, would it change things?
Like
you go around and say, I need 4 bouquets for a not wedding.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, you know, my dad had always said to me that once he's gone, he's gone. He doesn't care what happened to his body. But still, there's these processes and this week. So this week was horrendous.
That's
like,
horrific.
It sounds like one of the worst. It does sound like it. Gee whiz.
Anyway, so I was up at Mount Nebo. No reception, no service. Came back. So on the first day I came back, 5 days after he'd passed, I was over, absolutely over, 100%, dealing with funeral and death. So what do I do? As a gay man, you jump on Grindr.
Right. That's what you do.
That is one way to process grief. Yeah. I mean, look, I've heard the best way to get over something is to get under someone, but not in a funereal context normally.
We all grieve in our different ways. We all mourn in our different ways. Who knows what this man needed?
I don't know if you guys have ever experienced such a thing, but like you go through like a roller coaster of emotions, and I think that's healthy, right? But you do get to a point where you're just like, I can't deal with this
anymore.
Wasn't
there a song that said fuck the pain away at some point in my youth?
Yes.
Yep. Yes. Anyway.
Yeah. So I'd been speaking to a headless torso for a little while. You know, I was just like, all right, I just need to catch up. Like, you know, and I don't normally meet with headless torsos. I generally have a rule. I like to see face.
Yeah.
Just because in my past experience, not seeing the face leads to generally bad encounters.
Yeah.
So I went to South Bank, as he approached, I was dealing with some funeral stuff.
Oh God.
So I was on the phone. Let's call him Gabriel.
Gabe. Okay.
That's very far from his actual name.
Great.
I was like, oh, I'm sorry, Gabe, just give me a second. I'm dealing. So he sat down and
a sitcom scene. Can I just say
he's listening to me, talk to my sister, about, you know, I think currently the baseball situation. So it's quite an interesting thing. Gabe, his second language is English. Mm-hmm. So He's a man who comes from Latin America, from Colombia, you know, but his English was still pretty good, so he could understand what was going on. Mm. Yeah, and then we went into Max Brenner, and I think we both got a hot chocolate.
They're delicious. I'm always going to have a hot chocolate.
Chocolate shop on a date. I mean, that's pretty gold star stuff. Very good. Yeah.
And I guess we just started talking to each other, and he mentioned that he was an actor from Colombia, and I was like, oh, that's really awesome. So he showed me like some of his like works that he'd done. Mm-hmm. So I watched like a video, and I you always get a bit worried when you're dating an actor because, like, you know, what happens?
What if they're not
bad?
Good?
Yeah, right? Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
A friend of mine has done that. Like a friend of mine started dating this girl that he was like, oh my god, she's everything. She's amazing. And one night when we were drunk, he sat down with me and he's like, Liz, I don't think she's very good.
Oh,
and it turned out that she actually was and just had a really off night. But it's really awkward because if you both do a thing and they're bad at the thing, you're signing yourself up for a lifetime of watching terrible theatre. Oh, yeah.
So I'm watching this and it's in Spanish. So got no idea what's going on, right? But I find that even more interesting.
Yeah.
And what I didn't understand is in some scenes he was doing really well. And then in other scenes, he was at funerals, believe it or not, at funerals and crying. But the crying just seemed so fake and not there. And I was just like, I didn't understand the contrast. But so when he described what the show was about, his character was paid to be at funerals.
Oh.
Right?
So it made sense. So he actually was doing a good job of doing a bad job of being at a funeral.
Yeah, and it was quite kooky. And at the end, like, he ended up accidentally attending his own mother's funeral. So quite topical actually to watch that day.
My little heart would have been going, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, I thought we were done. This is meant to be away from the funereal stuff.
Yeah, it was still a lovely break. Anyway, we really connected. It was great. We went for a long walk. My favorite thing to do on a date is like a coffee and a walk.
Just stroll.
Yeah. Then walk and talk.
There's nowhere to get to. There's no destination. You just move and you just talk. It was very good. I like it.
It went well. We went home. We made sweet, sweet love to each other. It was fantastic and definitely got my mind off of things.
Great. That's what we want.
Mm.
Yeah. Cool. So you guys are looking at me like, where's this going to go?
I'm like, where's the butt? Where's the butt?
Okay, yes. Cool. So, well, this is a long... I'm going for the long game.
Okay,
right.
Cool.
So this is like, as a gay man, I'm emotionally stunted. You know, that's not all. But, you know, we start later than everyone else. So at least I did. I'm almost my 40s. Like the first, this is my first real relationship I had. I think it was like 33, 34. Mm. Up until that time, it was mainly like one night stands. Like I didn't lose my virginity until I was 21. Like, you know, when you do the maths, it kind of like almost, let's just say that kind of adds up.
Yeah.
And I guess like this was an amazing relationship for like 6 months. Like, we'd do everything together. We'd hang out 4 or 5 times a week. You know, he'd come over. It was fantastic. Like, we went on a holiday together. And then one day, we go shopping and he's just super quiet and it's
uncharacteristically
out of nowhere. And I'm like, all right, cool. We go shopping. We have a little bit of fun, like a little bit of band, a little bit of fun.
But you're aware that there's something, nothing not quite right. Yeah. Okay.
There's something wrong. And the next day I'm like, I'm a trooper. I would just try and keep pushing through. I'm like, something's wrong. Maybe I got to take his mind off it. So in the morning we go out for breakfast. We go for a lovely walk along the thing, but there's just like no communication, like nothing. And we get home and I was like, do you want to break up with me?
You went straight for it. Wow.
Yeah. Well, okay, what would you do in that situation?
It's a marvelous question.
Is everything okay? What's up? Why are you talking?
is there something on your mind? You seem distracted.
I would go to great lengths to avoid asking the question if they wanted to break up with me.
Yeah, I guess in hindsight, that might have been a good move.
The poor man was just saying he's... he had to wait. He wasted time getting to dating. Now that he's here, he needs to get to a resolution.
Get it,
come on,
come
we need...
on. Let me know.
This is the first relationship I ever had where I was like, oh my God, I can be in a relationship.
I can do it,
in the first relationship I ever had, I was like, do you hate me? Do you want to break up with me? So I get it. I get that. Yes.
Yeah. To be fair, I think my first two sentences were everything okay.
Yeah.
And when he didn't answer back,
just
I was like,
vomited. Yeah.
Do you want to break up with me? And he was like, yes. And my heart crushed. Like, because it just, I didn't see any logic. I was like, what did I do? Where did this go
wrong?
Just
came out of nowhere. Like whiplash.
And after how long together was this, sorry?
This was 6 months.
6 months. It's a good whack of time.
Yeah.
Especially to only notice on the day that something is wrong.
Yes, that's very true.
Yeah, crazy, right? I still didn't understand, but you know, I was like, okay, sure, this sucks, and I'm quite amicable. Anyway, we both start crying. I'm like, why are you crying? Like, you're breaking up with me, and then like. I had almost the best sex of my life. Like, have you guys ever done crying breakup sex?
Yes.
I believe I may have as well once upon a time.
Mine was we were broken up and then I realized it was a dumb thing and then we got back together again and then we had ridiculous sex all night. It was so fucking aggressive and ridiculous. And then the next morning he's just like, I shouldn't have done this. I'm leaving. And I was like, oh God. This made it so much worse.
double whammy.
Oh, yeah, it's good sex though.
Yeah,
it's fucking
messy.
Animalistic.
It's messy. You know, there's tears. I was still confused why he was crying. You know,
it's hard breaking up with someone. I've only done it once, and I would rather get dumped 100 times than actually have to do it again. It's the worst.
Absolutely. Yeah, right? Broke my heart when I last I did.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I think it's easier to be the person who's being dumped than
because then you've got someone to blame rather than just being like, "Hey, I hurt this person. Okay, on with my life." Like,
I don't cope with that. With hurting people. Anyway, so we are away for like I guess 6 months. We have like a 6 month break.
Sorry. You have the animalistic breakup sex, and then what? He just goes, okay, bye.
I think I drove him back to his house and dropped him off.
No, next time you say, get an Uber, take the bus.
No, but he left his moped at my place too. I don't quite know. Maybe I had to drop him off for work, something like that. Like the sex went longer than it probably should have. What was really lovely is I'm a sucker for notes. I love notes.
Yeah.
And like, you know, after he collected his bike, my diary was down in the garage for some reason. I was like, what is this doing here? So I grabbed it, went back. And then maybe like 3 weeks later, I opened up to a page and it was just lovely. Thanks for everything. Your Hermosa, which I think is a beautiful man. You know, love, Gabe. And so like that was lovely
and heartbreaking.
Yeah, but I had proof that he once really cared about me. So I mean, I was
that's self-affirming though, like when you find those things you're like, yep, even though it didn't last, there's somebody that cared a lot about me.
Yeah. But no, I still don't know why we broke up. We did not.
So he never explained to you. He just went, yes, moment. We're breaking up.
Not that moment. We did get back together.
Okay. Right? Spoiler
well,
alert.
I say that with quotation marks.
Okay.
So
6 months apart.
6 months later, I think we're in February, and we catch up for a beer. And it's great. We are laughing like old times.
Mm.
And you know that kind of hidden touches, the touches
little
of the
grazing.
Leg, the hugging.
Yeah.
A little flirty, you know. Little secret stuff going
lingering
on.
Lingering
yeah,
touch, you know, can I get you a beer? The hand is on the hand for that tiny second too long kind of thing.
Yeah, and so we kind of embark on a friends with benefits kind of scenario. Mm.
Which can be great if done properly.
Oh, yeah.
I think the key is communication and maybe having the discussion of expectations.
Yes.
Because I don't think we had that. So I think I was still like, we went back to old times, we were laughing, and I was like, this is amazing. Like, so clearly, but I don't know what missed it for him, because we would laugh, you know, it just seemed like an amazing relationship. We were quite sexually adventurous. Maybe I should go into some of the things. I don't know.
You're welcome to. Yeah, yeah.
It's your like, story, my friend.
We I don't know. Do you know what like a bathhouse or a sauna is?
Yes, like, in the greater context of the world. Yes. But is there a
So we'll game in. It's like you can go like to nude, you can go to like places. A sex on premises venues in Brisbane, right? Which is where guys go, generally gay guys. Whoever you want to identify, bisexual guys go there too, or whatever. People who sleep with the same sex, who are men, and generally you just walk around like with just a towel on. There's like a sauna. It's kind of like laser tag without the laser. you're walking through this kind of maze.
It's good to hear someone laughing.
Amazing.
Here.
That's amazing.
You know, so and this is the first time. So I've never done this before, and he kind of held my hand through the experience of what that like. I'm quite a nervous person. I don't know if that comes across to the people listening at home, but I like to talk. I'm a talker in a relationship. I like to over communicate where I am, my feelings, what's going to happen next. In that scenario of walking around laser tag maze, I lose my ability to be, I think, overly sexy, and you're kind of just meant to use your body, and there's no talking, and it's just it's weird.
That would make me giggle. I'm sorry. I'd just be like, yeah, man, this is hot.
Yeah, but imagine being with someone and just like not like I guess
you
people
don't
do
even
this.
Talk.
You don't even
like,
talk. No. And there's not even pleasantries at the end. I don't even think there's like a thank you. You know, shake of the hand.
Have
good
a nice
job.
Day. Have a nice day.
Yeah. No fist bump. No high five. Yeah, no. Rude.
But it was wonderful, right? Because we were in an open relationship the entire time, and I guess the thing is watching him be with other men made that very not scary. The openness, like it just you know, there was it was different to what we had, and that made me feel quite secure. But on the other side, there was the stuff that he would hide or not tell me about. So we had a sort of don't ask, don't tell sort of relationship.
Oh, that's dicey.
And I actually think maybe it's because of the culture he came from. He didn't like people knowing his private business. Mm. He was a man who loved his own privacy. You know, I guess where I kind of discovered about myself is if someone's not telling me something, then that's potentially a threat to me.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't you telling me this? Is this something that is, where are we at?
When things are held, like I don't feel the need to know absolutely every minuscule detail of my partner's day, but if there are important things that are happening in their life in a romantic sense, I feel like I should know about it.
Yeah.
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 Absolutely.
Communication.
Yep. That's the
that's
lesson.
That's our war cry. That's our catch cry here.
Keeps coming communicate. Back on ghost of boyfriend's past. Communicate.
So the ghost of boyfriend's past, maybe this is where I turn into the bad person because I did things I'm not proud of in this relationship.
That's okay.
We all do.
You know, and kudos to anyone in any stage of your life to put your hand up and go, yep, I was the asshole. I fucked up. Yeah. I did it. You know, good on you. That's hard to do. You know, you're not always going to be the prince, are you? You're not always going to be the golden boy. Put your hand up when you fuck up.
I guess I just don't want to ever be that person again. I've taken steps to do it, right? So I started getting jealous because, you know, we weren't actually communicating.
That's allowed. That's not bad guy. That's guy material.
All right. So here's the thing. So Grindr, you can favorite someone.
Right.
When you favorite someone, you can tell when they're online. And then you can also tell potentially like where they are, right?
Right. So you did this to try and know more in a kind of a
correct
and way.
Keeping in mind that you aren't in a relationship together. You're in a friends with benefits or how would you describe it?
I guess that's good. I didn't think about that at the time. So to me, we were hanging out 4 or 5 days a week again. We were having sex quite a lot.
So it felt like a relationship.
To me,
maybe?
It felt like a relationship.
Yeah, right.
Gotcha. To him.
Especially since you had been in a relationship and you would have settled back into that old vibe. Yes. Really easily.
Yeah.
But for the court, you're currently in a friends with benefits.
Let the court know there was no agreement reached.
Right.
Upon
no exclusivity agreement, no boyfriend, no partners.
Yes. Nothing. Not exclusive, like you said. No. No discussion had happened.
Mm.
So yes, that is a stalkery offence, and I take that. And I guess because for me it was the not knowing was the scary
thing. It's torturous. Having been with somebody who cheated on me repeatedly over a period of months, you are driven to do quite scary things that you would not normally do just to know. Like the certainty of knowing what they're doing and that they're doing something bad is more of a relief than not knowing.
So, like, I mean, even to the extent too, like, I'm not proud of this. Like, I'd leave work. My work is kind of around where that bathhouse was. I'd drive past it. I'd see his scooter at the front. I'd know he'd be inside. I wouldn't go inside. I'd just drive. And I was kind of like, well, I know.
Mm. Yeah.
I know, right? Yeah. My stalking was never to control.
No.
My stalking was just because, you know, I also did it. So towards the very end, I think the last kind of night we were together, the phone was left open and I took that step. And I looked.
I've done that too. Yeah.
I looked at the Grindr profile, and it's kind of like my greatest fear, because my greatest fear was him sleeping with someone that I knew, and then and seeing that that person had been messaging them, but that person and him, they didn't know that I knew both of them separately, right?
This
was
okay. Just
a thing. But my greatest fear was walking down the street with the person who I thought my boyfriend was, and running into someone who they'd had sex with, and then I was made to feel like a fool.
Have yes. been in that position, sure. Can confirm, is the worst. Is genuinely the fucking worst.
Right.
Especially when all of your other friends who are around you and said other person who your partner is fucking know about it before you do.
Yeah.
The worst.
Oh, gosh.
The worst.
Oh, well.
Anyway, yeah.
So, you know, I guess in the midst of kind of this sort of thing, we had decided to just be friends. We had a conversation where he said he was still looking for a boyfriend.
Mm.
And that was painful to hear. But then that was like, okay, cool. So we tried to become friends. So we, for 3 weeks, we didn't have sex. We were just talking. We hung out one day, and on the way home, when I dropped him off, he did a thing when he was going up the stairs where he pulled down his pants and kind of showed me his behind in like a sexy, saucy kind of way.
Uh-huh.
What am I? And you know,
what,
I was.
What are you meant to do with that? Where do I put that?
We've been flirting.
Would I file that away? I don't know. Like,
you know, he knew that I wanted to be intimate with him, and he does that. So great. So then I kind of like go home. I flip on Grindr and he's on Grindr and he's got the looking sign, and I kind of like get a bit angry. So I message him and go, we could have done something. And then that's when he figured out that I had favorited him. His privacy was very important to him the entire time. Like, obviously something's happened back in the country he came from. That's a really important thing. And I'd violated that trust. You know, and so then he was calling me a stalker, and that killed me. Like, to be someone who was causing someone else pain or fear, like, all I wanted to do was to make everything okay, and you can't in that situation.
And it sounds an innocent explanation is a difficult way to explain what you describe as stalking, but it's quite innocent and coming from your concern and your worry, and it's to alleviate your fears. It's not about him so much or control or anything. Look, it's still difficult. It's still, I know. I'm just trying to explain and talk through and try and process it my own way. So when the stalking is happening, you're not thinking you are a stalker.
You're just like, I just want to know. See,
it's justifying.
Okay,
yeah.
Here's where my what do I call it? Here's what grinds my gears, right? So you've come to him and said, here's a problem that I have, and immediately He goes, "You're an asshole." It's that deflecty kind of, and I know that favoriting someone without letting them know is probably not that great, but it's just this whole thing where it's so easy when you try to not pick an argument but go, "Hey, I've got a problem and here's my problem," and then, you know, automatically you're defending yourself and they never address the problem that you had in the first place.
Maybe, but I mean, you still, you pair that with the driving by of the path house, which I did a couple of times.
But did he know about that?
No.
Yeah, so for all he knows.
All he knows, you're
right.
I get it.
I've just...
The egg is on my face.
Yeah.
Like, I got caught out doing something that I wish I had never done in a place where I was so hurt.
And that's very big of you to be able to admit that as well.
On the flip side, I potentially scared someone, and that is the quality. Like, you hearing something from my perspective, who knows where it's at from his perspective.
Yeah.
I can just tell you that in that moment, I just would have done everything I could to have taken that back. But that's where my emotions were.
Yeah.
You know.
And it sucks to hurt someone else, but also it also hurts when you let yourself down or you fall short of your own expectations of who you are and who you want to be. And you go, "Fuck, for 5 minutes I was an absolute asshole. I was the biggest cunt on the planet." There we go. I've said it.
Oh, you said it now.
It's totally fine. I'm okay with it. I can wear it.
We won't bleep out yours then.
And the whole world looks at you and goes, "You're a bastard, you asshole, you. I'm not that person." So you've done, but the good people in life recognize that, double down on trying to remedy it, better it, and become better and to grow from it.
The people sounds who are like, really like that, you know, they won't. They'll be like, "What do you mean? I wasn't an asshole. Yeah, I was just doing it because X, Y, and Z."
That's so right. So readers, I suppose, you're allowed to fuck up. You're allowed to make mistakes, and the good people amongst you will try and learn from it, try and grow from it, and try and be better. So there's layers to it.
I feel like you guys also maybe being kinder to me because I'm in front of your face, you know.
Sure.
But I still want to acknowledge the fact that is a no-go zone, and that if you are doing that, you need to stop. You need to seek help. Something is wrong. So since that, do we want to talk about realizations? Like, is there any questions you have?
I think we can turn realizations and morph them into our what did we learn?
Just very segment. Very quickly. So after that happened, did you speak to him after that, or are you?
So I tried to make I sent a few very big apologetic messages. I actually just wanted to talk to him to explain things.
Yeah.
And then I realized you can't do that. You've been accused of stalking. You can no longer contact that person.
Yes.
So at some point, he was just, he wouldn't block me though. I was like, "Just please block me. Like, take my ability away so that way you're safe. Like, just do that." And he wouldn't do that because his reasoning was, "It's my social media. I'll do what I want. You can't tell me what to do." So
you need a friend like I have. You need an Emma. My friend Emma would have taken my phone off me, blocked, and made sure that somehow I couldn't undo it.
Yeah, but you know, you yourself, you're like, "No, it's fine. I can." So I did that. I unfavorited. I like moved it away. I couldn't block because I can unblock. So it's not so there's always that temptation to come back, if that makes sense, with Grindr. Yeah. It's like if I block, I have the power. And so what I was trying to do in that circumstance is to try and make Gabe feel as comfortable as possible.
Yeah.
And I tried my hardest to kind of think. And you know, every occasion like I'd go on Instagram, I'd look, I still had to have that waning period, and that waning period took me much longer than I wanted to.
Yes. Sure.
You know? Excuse me for once again.
No, you're not, please. Not a problem.
So like I realized that I can't do don't ask, don't tell.
Right? Yes.
Like
that's your big lesson from this is that you can't have that kind of relationship. You need more openness.
In the relationships I've had since then, they've still been open relationships.
Mm.
I personally don't want to be, I guess for me, sex with someone else isn't so much a betrayal. Funnily enough, I was speaking to someone the other day, I'm going to say this really quickly, and he was telling me his problems that were going on with his family, but he couldn't tell his boyfriend. So to me, that's more of an infidelity That my boyfriend couldn't confide in me rather than my boyfriend sleeping with someone else.
Yeah, it's more about openness, honesty, and I guess vulnerability.
Yeah,
emotional vulnerability.
I've had partners since then where they've also been performers. They've been a dancer. They were dancing with someone. They had a crush on that person, and like just the mere fact that I knew, and then we could talk. Like I could support that person in going forward and going, you know, it's like there's nothing hidden. I'm not scared. You're communicating with me. We're good.
This is fine. How I've heard that most, so I know a few people in open relationships and that's how it works. It's not that they need every excruciating detail. They just need to know what's going on and have firm boundaries, which is another thing we're very big on in this podcast, is setting boundaries and making sure that everyone is aware of those boundaries so that you don't accidentally fall over a boundary and not realize because no one told you it was there.
That's right. I think most people just want to know the rules of the game they're playing. They just want direction and some guidelines. My lesson today deals around the emotion of jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
What a wacky, wild feeling that is. Now, I have a shopping list of shortcomings and failings, and generally jealousy isn't on that list. Generally, I'm not, good for you living your life over there. Generally, but every now and then, jealousy strikes and it bites, and it's a weird, sick emotion. I don't know how you deal with it, dear readers. If you're sitting at home and you're going and you can feel it and it's hot and you're all those yucky, uncomfortable things, I don't know how you deal with it. Elizabeth Best, have you any idea how to deal with jealousy?
Look, I mean, I've got a shitload of baggage when it comes to that because I've been badly burned by people who have had long-term affairs behind my back. So even when that's not happening, I'm still paranoid that it is happening.
My
biggest advice I would be to anyone who has any jealousy is find a friend or two to be able to go, hey, this is how I'm feeling about this situation. Is this rational or is this irrational? Right. And quite often I've got a couple of friends who'll be like, oh my God, that's totally shit behavior. Kick his ass into next week. And some of them will be like, oh no, that's your baggage talking. You need to take a deep breath and sit with that feeling because this is definitely not him. It's you.
That's marvelous advice, Liz. I suppose my lesson is just attach it to jealousy. Just keep an eye out for that feeling, that emotion in your life, not just in relationships, any aspect of your life. Because I think jealousy is one of those emotions where it can affect you and then bad things come from it. You act poorly or you act badly.
Jealousy
and
makes you do some really fucked up
things. So you're going, I know, dear readers, you're sitting at home going, well, give us some advice. I don't have any advice.
That's not an advice episode. That's one of our minis. Keep
an eye out for jealousy, people.
Maybe red flag yourself.
Yeah.
If you're noticing you've got red flags,
you need to be communicating with all sorts of people in your life about the different things. You can't just keep all of your relationship stuff bottled up. Talk to some friends about what's going on to make sure that they can go, hang on, you're being a crazy person. Our producer Zane has something he wants to get on mic and say.
Some wisdom. Good.
Well, I think Ryan was, when he said red flag yourself, is like, if you're doing something that you feel ashamed of and that you're worried about, bring that up with your partner and go like, hey, so I drove past and I feel really bad that I did this, but I saw that you were there. Can we talk about what is going on?
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
So it's like, I did something bad and I feel bad for it. I want to know why I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And kind of start the discussion yourself rather than driving the discussion further underground.
That sort of runs into what my lesson learnt would have been, which is basically making sure that, now I've forgotten what I was going to say because Zane said it so fucking eloquently.
That's okay, Liz. You can have a week off if you want.
I'll take a whole week off.
Zane will take your lesson. You can just have a week off. That's totally fine.
No, it's basically like communication is important. That's what it was. I mean, obviously that's my message every single week. But in this specific instance, if you want to define your relationship, you have every right to ask the question. And if you're not happy with the answer, you have every right right to decide to walk away. And there have been times in many people that I know's lives where they have gone, this person is my person, but this person doesn't want to settle down with me. So if I ask the question, then I'll drive them away. And I'm like, but that is a good thing. And I hope that you see that that is a good thing, because otherwise you will both be torturing each other because you both want different things. And even if it's the right person and the wrong time, it's not going to work out well for you. I think that's my biggest lesson is don't be afraid to ask, are we exclusive? I didn't intend for this to be able to tie in, but it does very nicely. Don't be afraid to ask if you're exclusive or what the rules are, what the boundaries are in your relationship. Because even if you are happy with being friends with benefits, at least you know that, hey, if we're going to do this friends with benefits thing, I'd like to know this and I'll be telling you this. And that way everyone knows what the rules are with the game that they're playing.
Yes.
That's perfect. My learning lesson.
Well, there we go, boys and girls. We got through to the end of another episode of Ghosts and Boyfriends Past. Ryan,
yes.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Great stuff.
Thank you for letting me share it.
Thank you for being brave, at not just you, but anyone that comes on our show or will in the future. It's not the easiest thing to do to come on the microphone and talk to thousands and thousands of people about your story, your life. It's easier to talk about your favorite band or your favorite book. It's hard to talk about yourself, what you've been through, what you've lived through.
And I just one thing. Sure. I just want to just wrap up on a high note.
Yes,
please.
Yes.
Both me and Gabe are in separate relationships now.
Hooray.
And we're both very happy, it seems, because I caught up with him a couple of months ago. All is forgiven. And we both came away from great lessons, and we seem to be
fantastic.
Both in a happier place.
Both of you
happy.
You
grew as people. How
yes.
amazing. Well, I love it when that happens.
You too. You too, listeners. This can happen to you.
You too can grow as humans. You acknowledge your shortcomings.
Oh, boy. Share your goss with us. That's Tom Harrison, Elizabeth Best here at ghostsofboyfriendspast@gmail.com. We want your stories. We want your questions. We want all and sundry. Jump on Facebook and join our little group there. Ghosts of Boyfriends. What's it called?
Ghosts of Boyfriends Past group therapy.
Yes.
So that way, if you've got questions that you don't want to write in, but you may want to get a bit of advice on, or you've got some funny memes that you want to share, I'm all about the relationship and dating memes.
That's right.
Send them through to us.
Or be one step closer to your favorite podcasters. Elizabeth and Tom, we're on Facebook.
We will chat with you. We literally do chat with people who write into us, so feel free. In the meantime, is there anything that you want to plug before we go?
Oh gosh.
Otherwise we can put links in the show notes.
I'm a constant performer and teacher with Impro Mafia, so go check out impromafia.com. I'll be teaching some classes coming up. They certainly helped me to becoming a more communicative
yes.
human being. So if that's your jam, then please give that a follow and a like.
Absolutely. And until then, guys, just make sure that when you're in a relationship or you start dating, set some boundaries and stick to them.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The Ancient and Esoteric Order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.